You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you today by MyBookie.ag. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my X and O work at Inside the Pylon. You can follow my fantasy football and draft work for BreakingFootball.com. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. As always, I'm joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. He'll be joining me when I talk to Ted Wynn of The Athletic, Inside the Pylon, and other places. And we are going to preview the Raiders-Eagles game. Got some great questions for Ted. I'm sure he's going to have some great answers. Ted is an extremely brilliant football mind. Excited to talk with him. Before we get to that, some quick news. The Eagles send 6 players to the Pro Bowl. Carson Wentz, Fletcher Cox, Zach Ertz, Brandon Brooks, Malcolm Jenkins, and Lane Johnson. Congratulations to all of them. I was kind of surprised by the Jason Kelce snub. Maybe this is recency bias, but I think he's having the best season of his career and is playing like the best center in the NFL this year. In other news, Pro Bowl guard Brandon Brooks has adjusted his contract. As Field Yates reported, the Eagles converted $750,000 of Brandon Brooks' remaining base salary to a signing bonus and dropped his base salary rate to a league minimum, which is $775,000. This creates $550,000 in cap space, which gives Philly some room. What they're doing is they're not using it this year. They're going to carry it over into next year, which is sorely needed because right now the Eagles project to have negative $4.4 million for cap room next year. So I'm going to kick it over to this interview with Ted Wynn from The Athletic and Inside the Pylon. First, let me tell you about our friends over at mybookie.ag. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week. You got Patriots or Steelers, Eagles or Cowboys. Well, let me tell you this, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat you're making money for doing nothing, and they have the fastest payout, seriously, just 2 business days. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game betting, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile website that makes wagering on the go, an absolute breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code LOEagles, that's LOEagles, to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so we are here with Ted Wynn. Ted, it has been a while. How you been, man?
I've been good. Doing well, just keeping busy. You know, trying not to kill myself from this terrible Raider season, but been okay otherwise.
So Ted is going to help us preview Raiders versus Eagles this upcoming Sunday. Before we get into all that, Ted, let everyone know where they can find all of your work.
You can find me on Twitter at Raiders Analysis. I write for The Athletic. I write for FanRag Sports. I'm doing the draft guide for Inside the Pylon. And yeah, that's it. And I have a book I wrote about the Raiders offense. It's called The Guide to the Raiders Offense 2017. It was a lot hotter in the offseason before this season happened, but you can still learn some football from it if you are interested, that kind of thing.
Excellent. So let's get into it. Let's talk offensive side of the ball. We just got done playing Eli Manning. He's got an extremely quick time to throw. We've talked about it several times on this show. However, we also talked about Derek Carr being the league leader in quickest time to throw. What is it about Derek Carr's time to throw that makes it different than maybe Eli Manning's? Or is it a product of scheme? Is it a product of something that maybe Derek Carr isn't doing within the offense, maybe passing some things up? Why is he so quick to get rid of the ball? What can the Eagles expect from him?
Well, Carr's quick release in general. He's a very quick processor. So he goes through his reads a little extremely quickly, sometimes too quickly. He'll get off a read a little too quickly at times. And that's always been you could call it an issue. Sometimes it's a strength for him. I feel like he wants to get rid of the ball a little quicker to avoid getting hit. Sometimes it takes a year for players to really get over a devastating injury like that. I think that definitely came into play. I think as the season went along, he seemed to get a little more comfortable letting plays develop, trying to maneuver around a pocket. Last week was his most active week as far as making plays with his legs. He had a few long carries. I think he had a 40-yard run in that game. So I expect to see him do it a lot more against the Eagles. And against the Eagles, the Raiders definitely have to move the launch point and just not let those Eagle defenders just jump in, rush him from the same launch point.
Yeah, after that injury for Carr, y'all made him a $125 million man there in Oakland, right? Big extension for him. 5 years, mm-hmm. $25 million average, obviously. And that's one of the heaviest NFL quarterback contracts. Now, you have to imagine market will reset, as it always does with quarterbacks. But there has been some, I think mostly by, some knee-jerk reactions about Derek Carr's future as the franchise quarterback there in Oakland, because his salary, at least 2019, is kind of viewed as the spot. Looking at his salary, his $19 million becomes fully guaranteed if he's on the roster there at the end of 2019, that entire salary for 2019. And so if you're going to move on from him, which, again, I don't think would happen, you would have to be doing it around that period of time. And like Mike was alluding to, deep accuracy not great. He's one of the league worst as far as average depth of target. When he's in the pocket for more than 2.6 seconds, we got this data from PFF, as always. We love the numbers that they give us here on Locked On Network. He's one of the league worst in accuracy percentage, 44%. Completion percentage, only 34%. His quarterback rating goes down almost 34 points. It's not great. So my question for you, Ted, is this. I'm assuming you think Derek Carr is still the franchise quarterback there. And if not, you should let me know. But if he is, what's that franchise got to look like to run an offense with him? Do you have to work with Derek Carr to push the ball down the field, to slow him down a little bit more through his try to bring in a coordinator who shapes the offense a little bit better to his predilections?
First of all, with the contract, I think in a few years we'll be looking at this contract like it's really nothing. I mean, even in this offseason, Matthew Stafford got a bigger contract than Carr did. I think with some contracts coming up, I think Kirk Cousins might get a bigger contract than Carr this offseason. So I actually think he could have pushed for more, being a young quarterback and coming into his fourth year and having the year that he did. I thought he could have pushed for more money than that, actually. But I do believe he's still the franchise quarterback in Oakland. If you look at a lot of the really good QBs, typically their numbers drop in their fourth year. And I know with Carr, the numbers are a little dramatic. But I do feel like a lot of it has to do with the injury. A lot of it has to do with the offensive coordinator, Todd Downing. Todd Downing has never called plays at any level of football, high school, college, at any level of football. And it's just a very steep learning curve to never doing any of those sorts of things to being the guy in charge. Studying the Raiders offense, you just see tons of things that you could attribute to inexperience, things that he forgets to do. Things that just aren't part of the offense. Like in the beginning of the season, they completely forgot about the play action game. And that's, you can't do that. It just made it way too easy for linebackers to key on the Raiders offense. They forgot about the screen game, RPOs, and they started slowly introducing that stuff in throughout the season, had some success, and all of a sudden they go back to just going straight run or straight pass. So I do think a lot of it has to do with the offensive coordinators. As far as deep passing, I even wrote this after week one, after it had a really good game against the Titans, I wrote that I wish the Raiders would find different ways to go deep besides just throwing a fade pass. So I think that it has to do with play design. You have to find ways to attack deep besides just throwing a fade, which is a low percentage throw.
No, and it's a wonderful point. And I'm sorry, Ted, you said that you've been struggling with this Raiders season. I'm going to have to ask you to fix another member of your roster. Amari Cooper hasn't been playing too well. What's going wrong with Cooper this season? What's been the issue, and what can they do moving forward to get him more involved in the passing game?
I don't think there's anything wrong with Cooper. I think that he did struggle with drops. I mean, that's kind of what happens when you get one, two drops and you start losing confidence in your hands, and there just wasn't enough ways to get him the ball, to get him that confidence back. They did it a little bit with Kansas City, putting him in the slot, and then they went away from it. But the thing is, Cooper will always get the opposing team's attention, no matter what. Even if he's struggling, he's always going to get double coverage. He's always going to get the opposing team's best corner. And that's kind of became the Raiders' identity. For Cooper to draw the double team and to pick on the second corner or Crabtree's matchup. And the Raiders have lived on that for a long time. And I think that there has to be more creative ways to get Cooper open against double teams. You can't just run him on a fade route or just a deep post route and say, beat these two guys. There has to be different ways to scheme him open against double coverage. And we haven't seen enough of that for Cooper. Yeah, and he's struggled some injuries. This is just a really bad year for him. I think next year, coming back healthy, get him going again, hopefully having some ways to beat double teams, he'll be fine. He had a lot of missed opportunities this year as well. Like the Baltimore game when Carr was injured, he could have had a 200-yard game that game because there was this film of him running wide open with nobody near him. Yeah, so I really don't think there's anything wrong with him. He's still a very crisp route runner. He gets open, he gets separation. Just a really down year for him, and injuries don't help either.
So let's flip it to the defensive side of the ball. The Raiders' defense, via Football Outsiders, ranks 32nd DVOA against the pass. Now, there was an offseason plan where you guys went cornerback heavy. You got Gerrion Conley. You got Obi Melofolu in the first two rounds. You're getting less than 100 snaps so far this season from each of them. What's the difference between the present reality with the Raiders' defensive backs and the plan going into this season as opposed to the present reality, and how can the Eagles exploit it?
Do you have anybody that runs under a 4-5?
I think Nelly does.
Okay, then you're good. All you have to do is run him on a fade route, and you'll get open. The Raiders' defense struggles with speed terribly. If they play receivers that aren't burners, they actually play pretty tight man coverage. Like against Dez Bryant, Sean Smith could cover him. Demaryius Thomas, they could cover him. But then if you have a guy like Tyreek Hill that can just outrun guys, they just don't have the team speed to cover them. They try to double team with Reggie Nelson, but even if Nelson's 20 yards back, he's still getting beat deep. They struggle terribly with injuries. They try to address the secondary with the draft, like you talked about, with Gerrion Conley, Obi Melofolu, they haven't missed any games in college because of injury. And then they get to NFL, and both of them are struggling with injuries. So just a really bad luck when it comes to the Raiders secondary right now.
All right, so again, looking, I think you're noticing I got the longer-term questions. I like to think about these franchises across multiple years. I'm just curious because I know you do a lot of scouting work. You've been with Mike on linebackers before. The general thoughts about this defense, Oakland needs help at all three levels, right? They need players everywhere on that defense. They need depth everywhere. It doesn't look great right now. You move on from Ken Norton Jr., who is the defensive coordinator in the first half of the year, moving on to John Pagano now. You're at the point where there's a lot of fluctuation here for this defensive unit. And really, when you look at the unit for some key cog pieces, you know, guys you want to build around, you've obviously got Khalil Mack. I think Carl Joseph, your strong safety there, is a stud as well. In this draft, Obi Melofolu and Gerrion Conley, I was a big fan of Conley coming out of Ohio State, so maybe there. And then, you know, Bruce Irvin, he's kind of a chess piece. You can move him around as a linebacker, as an edge sort of a guy. Do you foresee them keeping Pagano, kind of deploying the same sort of scheme you see now? Or, you know, Jack Del Rio, the seat's a little bit hot. Do you envision kind of a big sweep out of the house, you know, entire new coaching staff? And, you know, if you're building a defense around these key pieces, who would you look to bring in? What sort of scheme would you deploy to really maximize the talent that the Raiders currently have?
Yeah, so Jack Del Rio's seat is a little warmer than people would think because he just signed an extension in offseason, but it's really been a terrible year, and there have been reports that there are grumblings that somebody in the organization, whether it's Mark or Reggie McKenzie, I didn't read who exactly it was or if they named who it was, but they want somebody to take Carr to the next level. So obviously, if there's a head coaching change, then Pagano likely won't be there. But if Jack Del Rio is here, then Pagano will be there. And he's been doing a really good job of creating pressure, using stunts. He hasn't blitzed a lot more than Ken Norton Jr. does. But as far as looking at their fundamentals and techniques and the little details in their stunts, it's making all the difference. The sack numbers and pressure numbers are way higher with Pagano than it was with Norton Jr., so he's doing something right. As far as the secondary and the draft, a lot of people are looking at linebacker as the position that they need to change the most, but I actually think they'll be fine with the linebackers they have with Bowman. Nicholas Morrow played his best game last week against the Cowboys. Markell Lee looks like a promising rookie, but where they really need help is the secondary. Even with Conley and Obi coming back, I think they have to, if there's a first-round corner worthy of being drafted in the first round when they draft, I think they have to draft him because you need another corner. And this year's taught me more than any other year that cornerback depth is extremely important in the National Football League. So I think they have to draft another corner moving forward.
All right, so here's the important question, Ted. Do you have a score prediction, and who wins this game?
Oh, it's going to be tough. I think the Eagles are going to kind of run away with this one. It's just going to be, as you know, Donald Penn is out. He's on IR, starting left half for the Raiders, which means that either Marshall Newhouse, the right tackle, who's been struggling, is going to move over to the left side, or rookie David Sharp, who is a promising developmental project, but I don't think he's quite ready to be a starter yet. And the Eagles have one of the best front four pass rushes in the league. You're going into a hostile environment. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a tough game. So, Nick Foles is no slouch. He played a good game against the Giants last week. He threw 7 touchdowns the last time they played the Raiders. I just don't see the Raiders keeping it close. Obviously, my heart's in one place and my mind's in the other. I hope they do somehow pull it off. But just looking at it logically, it looks like it's going to be a blowout.
All right, Ted, non-football related, we talked before the show about a take that you had about some TV shows that we all love. Do you want to let our listeners know about that take, or do you want to keep that close to the vest?
I'll say it. Yeah, I might get some backlash, but I'll say it, I think.
All right, then let's do it. Okay, so Game of Thrones, Mr. Robot, which is a better TV show?
I'm going to have to say Mr. Robot has taken the throne from Game of Thrones this season. The writing just got a little careless, dropped the regress a little bit this season for Game of Thrones, and Mr. Robot just took it to a whole nother level. So while I'll say that I enjoy Game of Thrones more as far as just a pure entertainment kind of thing, but I think Mr. Robot is a superior show in multiple ways.
Yo, I didn't know what Mr. Robot was until y'all started talking about it before the show, man.
Well, you got to check it out, man.
Well, yeah, I was Wikipedia-ing it real quick so that I could have like a quick little anecdote to drop, but it seems like way too complex, and I'd probably just put my foot in the mouth, so I'm not going to go for it.
Have you seen Westworld?
Yes, I've seen Westworld. I enjoy it a lot, but it's just been one season, and it could fall off pretty quick. I think it has potential to fall off quickly, but I enjoyed the first season for sure.
Yeah, there definitely is some boom or bust with that show going into the second season, depending on how they do it. Ted, man, it has been an absolute pleasure. Let the gentle listeners know where they can find your work, where they can find you on social media one more time.
All right, I'm on Twitter at Raiders Analysis. You can find me at The Athletic, or at FanRec Sports, and Inside the Pylon.
Thank you again, Ted. Take care, brother.
All right, take care.